This is the Michael K. Show.
Under center is Wilson, sends Milne in motion, takes the snap, drops the throw, fires over the middle, wide open is Rex for his second touchdown of the night. Wilson, quarterback draw out to the left, has his second rushing touchdown of the night.
There's a ton of upside for Zach Wilson.
He's got a quick release, he's got a great arm talent, very accurate, he can move around, he was a basketball player in high school, you know, he throws with all different arm angles.
He's got a little Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Baker Mayfield in terms of extending the play and the ability to create after the initial play breaks down.
Whenever I watched Zach this year, I was like, let me see more of this. He can throw it anywhere. I'm telling you, he's got the talent of Patrick Mahomes.
The Michael K. Show.
I think he's got that it factor.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so everyone knows that Trevor Lawrence is going number one, and it seems to be an accepted fact that BYU quarterback Zach Wilson is going number two. And since we're always honest, we have not seen that much of Zach Wilson here on the East Coast, and there's a chance that the Jets could take him or trade the pick. And we thought it'd be so important to be able to talk to the guy who probably knows him best, has known him since he was a kid, and that's Kalani Sitake, the head coach of BYU football, and he's nice enough to join us now. Kalani, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you got it. Thanks for coming on. Please tell us about Zach Wilson. We'll ask you the questions, and if you could just give us some info on what he's about. First of all, is he a guy, a personality, that could handle New York?
Yeah, I believe so. I think he's got first of all, he loves ball. So he loves to play football, and I think he's all about connecting with people. And, you know, and I know, I've known him, I've been around him a lot and seen the way that he interacts with our fans. The guy plays for the fans, and so he's going to do everything he can to make sure that he's prepared and he's a high-level competitor, and he's going to do everything he can to make sure that the fans are happy.
So we heard the experts, but you were there. You coached him. What will an NFL team get in Zach?
I mentioned that this competitiveness is amazing. I mean, I don't know what is if it's just because he's such a big-time competitor that he prepares better than anyone I've been around. I mean, he studies football. He watches football. He's all around. He's consumed with it. And then it creates an opportunity for him to feel confident going into the game. You know, he's well-prepared. And then he's a highly competitive guy. So being on the field, he wants to perform at his best. And when you're a high-level competitor like that, it raises the level of everyone around you, even coaches. And so I think he's got that expectation of himself. It's infectious. And then I think he'll do well in the NFL. I think he'll do a great job.
All right, particularly not a fair question because you're putting a lot on a kid, but is there a comparable in the NFL that could make us understand what type of quarterback he'd be, an NFL quarterback that's kind of like Zach Wilson or vice versa?
I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I'm expert enough to know about all the guys in the league, but I know he belongs in the league, and I know that he studies the NFL a lot. And so just to give you some insight on the type of young man that he is, he stops by my office a lot during the season and even during the off season, and he's always equipped with his iPad or his laptop, and he's watching film. And we have access to all the NFL games that he's watching all of it. And he'll come in here and he'll say, hey, look at this play, or look at this quarterback, look at this throw. And he's studying all the NFL quarterbacks. I mean, all of them, and the plays that they're doing. And he's been doing that since he was a true freshman. So I think that's something that when other guys are playing video games and doing all that stuff, this guy's consumed and studying ball and is, you know, in his pastime, he's working, hanging out with the players, but it's always around football. I think the reason why he's generating a lot of interest, a lot of positivity, is because people talk to him. These GMs and these coaches are talking to him, scouts, and they're starting to realize that he's the real deal when it comes to football. And he likes talking about ball, and he's got this high intellect and IQ when it comes to the game as a quarterback. And I think they're starting to realize that he's the real deal, and he's going to be able to have success in the NFL. I just think that whichever team chooses him is going to be really lucky. But he's also humble, and he'll be hungry, and he'll raise the level of everyone around him.
Coach, unfortunately, when we're talking about such a high-level performer, there's going to be people that are going to pick things apart. And something that came up a couple of weeks ago was he a captain? Wasn't he a captain? Is there a lack of leadership in him? What can you tell us about his leadership skills?
No, he's got great leadership. And so listen, we can only name a few captains, and he's an underclassman as a junior. We have a bunch of seniors and veterans that are coming back. And then when we announced our captains, the true story, we announced our captains, our captain said this is ridiculous that he's not mentioned in it. He was in our leadership council, which is basically our top dozen leaders, and they named him the captain. The leaders of the team named him the captain, and I didn't fight it. You know, and so if you talk to the guys on the team, the reason why we had a lot of success is we had more than one leader on the offense, and there's a bunch of them, and he happened to be the catalyst for it all. But, you know, you look at the things that he does as a leader, he doesn't really need that title. What dictates a captain? Is because someone tells him a captain, or it's a popularity contest in the votes? He received enough votes by his teammates to put him in a leadership council. You think as a senior, if he didn't go declare for the NFL, I think it'd be pretty easy to say that he'd be named a captain as a senior. You know, so a lot of this, the guys that have put in the time that have been here as seniors, but this guy's been a leader since he got here as a true freshman, as an 18-year-old, and has done some amazing things for us in the program. And I think right now his high level of expectation to work hard has become the norm for our players. And that's what leaders do. They don't need permission to be a speaker or to talk or to make, you know, I think sometimes when you look at captains, people think that that's the person that corrects anything that's going wrong. How about the guy that praises those that are doing well? That's what Zach Wilson does. So I think the NFL, everyone finds reasons not to like someone, and he's been dealing with that his whole entire life. People keep doubting him, and he's going to prove them all wrong. He's done that. He has a great track record of proving people wrong, and that's not what drives him. What drives him is that he loves the game of football, and he loves being on the field, and he loves the whole concept of being part of a team.
Kalani Sitake, the BYU football head coach, is our guest talking about Zach Wilson, who might go with the second pick of the draft. Now, you and your coaches and your players and things I've read have really reacted in a big way against this quote that was in a Walter Football article where an NFC scout said, and I just want you to say it on the air with us, Coach, if you'd like. The article claimed that Zach Wilson has character concerns. Rich kid who is an entitled brat. His uncle owns JetBlue. His parents are a pain, not a leader, selfish, and he's a know-it-all. What do you say when you see something like that in print?
Completely wrong. And, you know, no one would ever quote me saying that about him, and I've known him better than a lot of people. So ask his teammates. I mean, everybody, I think, came to his defense when that stuff was mentioned. And so I think it's, you know, like I said, people are going to try to say whatever they can to bring someone down. It's not even close to what's the truth about him. Like, is it his fault that his family does well? You know, no, but I would tell you one thing. He works hard. He has jobs. He makes money on the side. He's humble, and he's very mindful of his teammates. So I can't say for whoever wrote that article why they would even bring that up. But I think they probably look at his background and see that his uncle has success, that his family has success, and that's not no fault of the kid. You know, I think when you get to know him and you know all the work that he does for the community out here, you talk about a young man, and this doesn't get mentioned enough, who's always about serving others and then they can alleviate pain for those that are suffering. He's been there for a lot of people that have lost loved ones and have struggled, and struggled with a lot of painful things, and Zach's always there to help them out. He's learned how important his platform is, and he's utilized that to help others. And so if that means that he's a spoiled brat, then I don't know where this guy gets the definition of spoiled brat is, because this guy is all about helping others, and it's been a pleasure for me to be his coach. It's an honor for me to get to know him and his family, and I think people that know him and his family realize that this guy is special. He's a special young man, and it's an honor for me to call him a friend. So I think a lot of people will come to his defense when it comes to when someone talks about his character. He's everything you want in a young man, and I hope my daughter marries somebody. I have two daughters. I hope they marry someone of his character someday.
Well, that's a strong opinion,
Coach. I know you're busy on Saturdays. On Sundays, Are you ever able to see the Jets play? And have you seen Sam Darnold at all? And do you think any comparisons between them talent-wise is fair?
Well, I mean, I like the Jets because, you know, we've had some guys over there. I mean, Harvey Longy's out there, so we're always going to follow our players, and then you're going to have a fan base that will follow wherever Zach goes, and so they'll be interested in him. And you know, another example of Zach's character is we've done some community service out there in Harlem, and he's gone out there with me every year that we've done that, and so that's already documented. He's done stuff like that and reached out to help people even out in New York, so he's familiar with the area there. We've been there three times with him, and so you know, he knows everything about that area, and at least the tourist spots and what Times Square has to offer. But I think for the NFL, you're not in the NFL unless you're a big-time player. So guys like Sam Darnold and all the quarterbacks that are there, it's going to be competition. That's going to have to happen no matter where Zach goes. But he's up for competition. He came here as a true freshman and was able to earn a starting spot over a veteran that was an Elite 11 guy in high school and was a highly recruited guy. And, you know, we made a commitment to play the best. And when he earned the spot, we decided to make the move, and it was the best move that we made. You know, so and we also had an opportunity, when he has overcoming injuries, to keep making sure that he has to earn his spot and keep his spot going. And he's never shied away from competition. So anytime he gets, whatever team he gets to and whatever quarterbacks are there, he's going to be there to compete. And he's going to be a great person in the room. He's going to support them even when he doesn't get the starting spot. He came as a true freshman, wasn't the starter right away. He stuck with it, was great in the team room and great in the position room, and then earned the starting spot in midseason. And, you know, that's the type of guy you're going to get from him. He's all about the team. He'll work well with the coaches. And he's just a great person to be around. And I think he'd be a great addition to any team, especially the New York Jets.
Coach, is there anything you think he needs to work on?
Oh, if there's anything he's going to work on, he's already doing it. I mean, like I said, the guy's studying game film of other players. He's always working on these weird throws that we see from so many people. I mean, if you see the throws that he does in games, he's practiced so many different types of throws that we haven't even seen yet. But he's starting to realize that he's a quarterback first. When he first got here, he was running a lot because he's an athletic kid. He can run, he can jump, he can dunk the basketball like it's nothing. And so he was relying on that as his skill set. And as he started to be here a little bit longer and started working with our quarterbacks coach, Aaron Roderick, started to realize that he has a special skill set in throwing the ball, and started to realize that the timing and the throwing of everything can make him special, and really honed in on that the last couple of years. And this last year is an example of his hard work. So, I mean, the guy's looking to always improve. He's a learning machine. So anything that he needs to get better at and someone brings up to him, he'll work at that. And that's why I've loved coaching him, because he's never settling and he's never complacent. His trajectory's gone up ever since he got here, and it continues to go up. And I think the more people get to know him, they'll start realizing that he hasn't even reached his potential yet.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kalani Sitake, the BYU football head coach, is on with us on the Michael Kay Show. Coach, we have Steve Young on every Monday during the football season. He raves about Zach's arm. Is his arm of that kind of like otherworldly quality? And also, does he run with the football?
Yeah, I mean, he runs well with the football. We just don't want our quarterback that can sling the ball well to run a lot, because we get in the red zone. He has 10 rushing touchdowns this season in 2020, and that's because when we get to the red zone, we want to put him in a position where he can score touchdowns. But we didn't want to make a living of him running the ball a lot. We did that his freshman year, and that we put him in harm's way. And I know that I mentioned that he's got a great skill set, and that's throwing the ball. He has athleticism. He can create time and space if he needs to. But in the NFL, everyone's fast. I mean, everybody can run. So he's going to have to deliver the football and throw it. And that's what he's focusing on right now. But I think, he wants to run. He wants to run a 40. He wants to jump and show his vertical. He wants to do all that stuff, but he understands that throwing the ball is important. And having mentors around like BYU greats like Steve Young and others that are connected with him, Robbie Bosco and all these great guys, Jim McMahon, everyone that's available. I mean, I think he's picking their brains. He talks to Steve Young quite often, and then they since he got here, he was always, you know, picking his brain on the game of football and all that stuff. So you're having great mentors around and working with greats like John Beck and everyone that he's been around. He's a student of the game. He loves watching football. He loves watching other quarterbacks in college football and the NFL. So a student of the game like that, I think, has a huge ceiling, and I can't wait to see what he does on Sundays.
Now, before we let you go, one final question, Coach. Would you put him, and this might be an unfair question to you, would you put him in the same breath as Trevor Lawrence? Is he that same type of quarterback?
Well, I think they're mentioned all together. I think when you get to the NFL and you look at all those great quarterbacks that are in the first round talk, you can't say anything negative about any of them. You know, those guys can all play, and I think that, you know, when these scouts and these coaches get there, are able to see them work out, they're going to find what's going to be the best fit for their, you know, for their scheme and for the coaches, and they're going to go with that. I just think that I hate to compare him to anybody else because he's unique, just like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and you know, all the other quarterbacks out there. They're unique in their own kind, and it's just a matter of the fit. I know that he's going to be able to function socially and football-wise anywhere, whether it's a small market or a large market like New York City, and I'm just really excited for his opportunities. This is what he's been waiting for. He's been excited for this moment, and I'm sad to see him go. I was hoping that he'd come back another year, but you know, this is a great time for him to move on and to live his dreams, and that's my job as a head coach is to make sure that I allow these players to live their dreams, and I can't wait for him to live it out there, and whether it's New York or wherever it could be. I know he's going to do well.
As a football man, would you be surprised, Coach, if he doesn't make it in the NFL, if he doesn't make it big?
Well, you know, it's crazy. You look at all these different quarterbacks that have bounced around or that have gone to different teams. It seems it's all about timing. Whether it's quarterback or running back or whatever position it is, it's timing and if you got the right fit around you. And I think that's what the coaches and GMs and owners are doing. They're trying to decide, you know, what's the best fit for the skill set with all these quarterbacks and all these different players that they're looking to, you know, to draft in the first round. And I think that's where it comes down to. You only need one team to buy into you and believe in your skill set, and then put the parts around it to make it successful. And so I don't know exactly how that works, but I know that there's a lot of talented people in the NFL, and there's some guys that go to one team and do well and never leave again. There's some that kind of bounce around a little bit. That all depends on how the setup is for him and setup is for all the other players. I think that's the interesting part about the whole draft is seeing, you know, how much they want to buy into a guy that they're going to be able to, you know, work with the pieces that they have already in place and that they're going to work to get into free agency and also that they're going to draft.
Coach, we thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And if the Jets draft him, we're going to have you on again.
Yes.
Let's do it, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's Kalani Sitake, the BYU head football coach. You know, the only thing that I wonder about, you know, that conversation that we just had, the captain thing. The captains are voted on by the players. He's not on the list of captains that are voted on. And there were junior captains that were, in fact, voted on.
That's correct.
And then there was kind of an uprising when he wasn't. Well, why wasn't he voted on? I mean, if the players vote on the captains, then why was he not voted on initially? And is there something there that we don't know? And then that quote from the NFC evaluator was really tough. I mean, it's certainly not a sin to be well off as you grow up, but maybe some well off kids are different than kids that have to grind and claw and scratch to get there. Again, I'm not sure if that's fair, but he certainly made that point. It's, you know, it's not his fault that his uncle owns JetBlue, but you know, these are if you think we're parsing it down, as Don says, to a fine powder, that's exactly what the NFL does. I mean, they look at the size of your fingernails.
I mean, you have to, because this is a huge investment. You know, if the Jets were to select him with the second overall pick, that is a huge, huge investment. Maybe even more so for the Jets, because it's coming off having taken the last quarterback you had third overall. So you've got to make sure everything is right. So you can't just disregard anything that's said. I mean, this captain thing might seem like we're kind of picking at a scab here, but you got to do it. If I'm investing the second overall pick, I want to find out, why was this guy not a captain? And it's nice to hear that, well, listen, he's a leader of men, but why wasn't it chosen? Maybe there could be a jealousy, right? There's always that stereotype of the kid whose parents are a millionaire or billionaires, that they're not great people, or that they've been handed everything to them. They're not tough enough. I don't know what to believe. I guess we just got to gather up as much evidence as we can, and the Jets or whoever has that pick is going to have to make the selection and trust their information.
You know, it's kind of cool, though. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. We really have no clue what the Jets are doing. It is so wide open, we have no idea what they're going to do. And I think that's neat. There's so much speculation. Are they going to keep the second pick? Are they going to keep Sam? Are they going to draft Wilson? Are they going to trade for Deshaun Watson? It's so wide open. The palette for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh is completely blank. It's their painting now. And, boy, they've got a lot of work to do. They really do. And every decision they make is going to impact this organization, I think. Every decision they make over the next month and a half will impact this organization for the next decade.
This is the draft. This is the moment where this becomes Joe Douglas's team, right?
Yeah.
Because he survived a coach's firing. You know, if he decides to keep Sam, then Sam becomes his quarterback. Because Sam's not his quarterback right now. That's Mike Maccagnan's quarterback. If he decides to keep him, then Sam becomes his quarterback. If he takes Wilson, then Wilson's his quarterback. If he trades for Watson, then Watson's his quarterback. And then it becomes his team. Finally, the last piece of the Maccagnan puzzle is discarded, and now it's his team. So no longer are the excuses of he took over a bad team or it was Maccagnan's problem. This really is the time where this becomes Joe Douglas's team.
Pumped up. All right, let's see what you have to think about what you heard from the coach, 1-800-919-3776. Later on in the hour, we will get a resolution to whether or not Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg will be sitting in a booth with me broadcasting. Well, not in a booth because we're not down there, but
that's right.
You know, they'll set up something in their house, broadcasting a Yankee spring training game.
Well, even saying that gets my hopes up.
We're going to find out at the end of this hour, which I think is really important. Resolution's important, Peter. I've always said that.
Can we run up the poll? What do you think? Do you think we're going to get a chance to do it, or they come on the air and just disrespect us? Run that up the poll, please.
You know, today is also the late George Harrison's birthday.
That's right.
Wow.
So we can, at the end of this hour, we can actually be singing, they say you got a resolution, well, you know. That's what we'll be singing.
That's how you honor the man?
George's song.
That's how you honor the man?
He played on it.
I understand. He's a Beatle, isn't he?
Are you guys comfortable saying he's the third Beatle, or do you think he's equal to John and Paul?
No, he's the third Beatle.
Got it.
But it's still incredible.
He's above.
He's
Ringo.
Phenomenal.
His work is incredible.
And his solo. I mean, you could argue his solo work's the best.
Not easy.
You know, I tell you what, you could. It's a really healthy conversation. I think it's between him and Paul.
Not to mention. I think I'm going to say this safely.
Okay.
He had the most recent big time pop hit of anyone in the Beatles.
Really? No, wasn't John Lennon's hit after his?
No, I've got my mind set on you. I was a kid. Yeah. It was 1987.
That was like 87,
no. But John Lennon solo hit, as I'm saying, off his last album, I think, was after 87, wasn't it?
Years after he'd been dead?
Yeah, I was in college. That's right. I'm
1980,
sorry.
Yeah,
7 years.
Right.
Because I was like, I was a conscious human when George Harrison had a hit still, you know?
And now you're not, Beatles songs, which is amazing.
Songs. Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
You'll be happy to know, Don, that My Sweet Lord lives in my jukebox and always has.
Oh, that's good news. 1-800-919-3776 is the number. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.